Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us on Unlimited Realities Radio. I'm Lisa Zimmer, your host, and today we have such a special guest. I am so very excited to gift you guys the wisdom of our guest, Annie Burnside, author of Soul to Soul Parenting. I absolutely love this book, and this book, for me, if you're a parent, you need this book. If you are pregnant, you're recommended the book by your OBGYN, What to Expect When Expecting. Well, if you're a parent, you need Soul to Soul Parenting. This is a book that's going to not only ground you as a parent, but also bring a whole realm of understanding as a family unit on where you're coming from and where the children need to go in their process and their growth and their journey and their path. Annie, thank you so much for being with us. Annie Burnside.
Thank you, Lisa. I cannot tell you, I am so honored and thrilled to be here to talk about really my two greatest passions, my spirituality and my family, and how those have blended together very purposefully and consciously in our family life. And just it's a pleasure always to speak, to have the opportunity to share with others.
Oh, Annie, it's two of my very biggest priorities as well. And in reading your book, I was sitting in a chair at one point, and my kids were doing some playing pool actually, and I'm sitting in the living room, and the game room is attached, and my one son comes over to me, the youngest one, Luke, 12, and he says, "Mom, what are you reading?" And I said, I laughed. I said, "Soul to Soul Parenting. I love this woman." And he said, "Well, you're nodding through the whole book. He's going to keep looking at you, and you're nodding." I said, "And after this chapter, we're having a chapter test." So, like,
oh,
great.
How wonderful.
You know, but it was one of those points of reading that it was, you were reminding me of things I've already taught my kids and needed to, you know, do a fine tune up. You were reminding me of new creative ideas to use with them. It was just, it was not only your incredible spiritual wisdom and bringing it all together, but the tools were just so practical. And it was something that you can take wherever you are on your journey and path, whatever your personality flavor is within a family, and cultivate your own family plan. So
Thank you. That's exactly what I meant it to be. Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful. So let's take it on that level. Yes. Let us get into, like, the designing of the individual family plan, because there is no perfect family. There's no perfect child. There's no perfect parent. However, we do the best we can. So,
absolutely.
You know, talk to me a little bit about, you know, how a family can go in and just to start to devise their own family plan.
Okay. You know, I'll say first that the book absolutely poured out of me before I thought of getting an agent, a publisher, or anything. It's something that my children are now 14, 13, and 10, two girls and a boy. And when they were 8, 7, and 4, I woke up one day and it was very, very clear that the time was now to begin to take our children on this journey of personal growth, self-love, ultimately, and spiritual development that had literally changed my life. So we began to devise kind of how are we going to go about doing this, offering this to our children in digestible bites for them. So the first thing I would say to parents, if anything resonates here today, this is not about me being the expert. My book simply offers a model, a guide, a friend, we'll say, if you desire to go down this path with your children. The second thing, I think, is that really 50 to 60 to 70% of soul-to-soul parenting is the parent beginning to crack themselves open a bit and go down the path of self-discovery themselves. Then that energy of growth and openness begins to just naturally shift the energy of the family. So if you didn't use one tool or one vehicle, and there are many offered in the book that can be very helpful, but just opening the path yourself is the first and biggest step.
Yes,
then you can
right.
begin doing family discussions present visual cues and all of those things, and deciding on what you, the themes that you really want to offer your children. You know, we only have our children with us for really a short time under the roof. My oldest, all of a sudden 14, four more years. And there's so much that we want to offer her in terms of self-love, empowerment, her path up the mountaintop, the family being a safe place for release and identifying emotions and working through anger and forgiveness. So those are some just initial tidbits,
Well, and it's interesting, you have I have a 14-year-old and I have a 12-year-old, and they're both my sons, and then my daughters are in their early 20s, and they're on their own, thank you, God. But my 14 and my 12-year-old sons, I relate to that. There's such a hormonal change, too, that's going on right now, and the emotions and the intensity. And I had a little, you know, touch point moment this morning with my 14-year-old. And it happens every few months. You know, we have this little discussion, shall we say, about priorities and boundaries. And, yes, that seems to be the family discussion the last few weeks with us. So in talking about, like, the family discussions that come up, you provided a beautiful story that I want to bring up, because it's just the synchronicity of things that happen in life. And I saw this in your writing and in your story about your bike ride as a family, and you went to the rocks at Michigan Lake, and you had this moment of talking about a spiritual awakening and really looking at yourselves as angels, and that you were, you know, just, you know, angels with a body. And then you want to elaborate a little bit about this, and I won't give the whole.
Yes, we had this wonderful discussion. This was a few years ago, and again, I want to just stress the fluidity. You know, we got on bikes, and it was a family Sunday afternoon, and we had a great time, lots of laughs, and stopped on the way home for ice cream. But in the midst of that, we took 10 minutes to sit on a rock and discuss a little, some deeper aspects of life. But we talked about, yes, we're in human suits, but really we are all angels in disguise, powerful beyond measure, creative beyond measure. And then my daughters went off to play on the rocks. My husband and I continued a wonderful discussion. And then my daughters began fighting over whose rock was the dining room of their house. So, you know, it's not about perfection at all, this beautiful family discussion, and bam. And then we were leaving, and my younger daughter was pouting, and she happened to be sitting, pouting on a painted rock. And she stood up as we're gathering her for her bike, and there was a beautiful painting of a woman, a naked woman with angel's wings. And I got what I call my divine flow energy feeling, tingling all over, breathlessness, tears in my eyes, and I thought, there it is. And we called the family down. Here it is, the universe just confirming what we discussed, and they all got it. I for sure was the most, like, jump out of my pants. Woo, this is incredible, but they got it. You could see it in their eyes, you know. So,
those are beautiful. Are beautiful signs, aren't they, when things like that happen? And that takes us right into one of your chapters that talks about spiritual signs, that when you're in the flow of synchronicity and spirituality, and you're walking that talk, and you're trying to have those teaching moments with your children, talk to us a little bit about what spiritual signs could be. What could be a validation for us in regard to what we see and what we have in our environment?
Well, I'm a big believer in spiritual signs, and it's a very personal, intimate thing as far as what has meaning to you. Every time my husband sees a hawk, it gives him a feeling of connection, and it's very personal for him. Our family, we use the butterfly a lot. It's just been a sign for us of transformation, freedom to be ourselves. And it's so we use it kind of as a fun thing, as a reminder. When you see a butterfly, all of us know, remember who you really are. Remember to acknowledge that. Remember to offer that up and out to the world as your truth. So spiritual signs to us, they're meaningful and they're fun. A lot of this is using, my biggest piece of this is using everyday reality. You know, some of us might want to go on a mountaintop and contemplate life in India, but I'm a modern mother, you know, raising three kids. I've got kids in travel sports. We love pop music. We love, you know, modern movies.
Right.
So we like to pull the themes right out of those and utilize them in 2011, right here, right now. Because where we're all headed, my greatest hope for my children is conscious spirit embodiment. Not that they attend Yale. That might be great if it occurs, but for me, it's that they know themselves as spirit embodied and then choose to offer that in whatever path they take, if they become a doctor, if they become a salesperson, whatever.
Right,
so
right.
That's really what we hope to offer our children.
And it's, well, it sounds like you are offering that. I mean, it's indicative in your book and how you speak and how you teach. And you offer a lot of, you know, things that we do as adults when we're going on the spiritual path. Sometimes as parents, we don't consider that kids are capable of a lot more than what we give them. And you offer in your book a lot of ideas that it's okay to integrate in regard to teaching your children about, you know, peace and stillness and meditation and conscious breath and making a vision board and blessing bowls and all of these things that, you know, bring you to a place of sacredness within yourself and even places, you know, honestly, I can't tell you how much I resonated with you because it was like, I'm saying, yes, we have sacred spaces in our home too. Yes, we have. I'm thinking, okay,
yes.
But these are all things that make you tap into yourself. It makes you, you know, you might be having a bad day or you're angry at someone in the house or something, and you look at, you know, this thing or this piece of memory or collection that you've created that brings you back. And
yes.
Right?
Yeah, and I love that you pulled that, you know, that's really why we started the book Poured Out, because I realized just so clearly, like, my children, all children can begin to utilize their intuition right now. They can understand at a much earlier age than I surely ever did that thoughts, words, deeds, priorities shape future reality. And we use that when, you know, my 13-year-old daughter now, she's kind of becoming very social and boys are a little more in the picture. And, it, you know, things that we've discussed in a family discussion are now on a Tuesday afternoon as she's heading off with friends to study at Panera. All I need to say to Piper is, Piper, stay awake, girl, stay awake. And she understands that that means she is responsible and accountable for every choice, that there are natural consequences. So what begins to happen as you go down this path, the framework gets laid, and then when they come home with a disappointment or a friendship issue, you have the language to use. You have the capacity to look at multiple perspectives, and they know that multiple perspectives are valid. They understand that they're creating much of their reality. They understand that their vibration of empowerment and joy is going to determine a lot and how to work through anger. We have a big emotional scale in our hallway, upstairs, and on a refrigerator where they can identify how they're feeling, and they have tools to move up the emotional scale, so to speak. So
That's very cool.
Kids are very capable of, I love how you said that, the capacity for self-awareness now versus waiting until they're 40 and they have a tragedy or a divorce that forces it a bit. You know, we can crack them right open and work through the psychic debris now so it doesn't lodge in their breast at age 50
as anger
and resentment, you know.
That's right, because it's not it's not something we can count on our institutions and our schools and our structure of society to provide for our children. It is our responsibility to open them up to that dimension, and it is our responsibility as parents, as conscious parents, to kind of make them aware of their own divinity at a very young age. And that's, you know, my friends, most of my friends have children, and some of them I really, really respect. And I see, you know, how difficult parenting is today, especially among, you know, single parents and among broken homes and where, you know, both parents may not always get along. And my kids are from, I've just gone through a divorce over the last few years, and it was difficult but necessary. But I look at my kids and we're friends, their father and myself, and so we share them very evenly, very well. Their whole perception of divorce is different than their friend's perception of divorce, because their friends come over. Sometimes, you know, their dad will come in, he'll bring something or he'll drop something off, we'll talk, he'll leave, and they're not fighting. You know, your parents get along, And so it's interesting to me the concept that society raises our children with and how much of a responsibility as parents we have to take in redirecting their structure of how they think and what's important and value. And, you know, you do this in such, I mean, this is a book that really reads like, you know, a step-by-step. I know you said you're not an expert, but this is kind of, you know, quite expertise here. This is pretty good.
and, you know, when I say that, I want to empower parents to be their own experts, you know. But I do. I mean, I've studied spirituality for over 20 years. I'm sure, like you, it is my greatest passion. I've done a tremendous amount of inner work. So I feel that I can offer that to others. But I just want to say to parents, it's all within you to offer your own children. It's right in there, you know. It's the willingness and the desire. I mean, a lot, you know, is being said now about the tiger mom. I'm sure you've heard the Chinese mother, and she's on every, and, you know, there's no doubt we both love our children. I would say the way that our priorities in parenting, there's a big difference. But lots of talk on parenting right now, so parents can really look and feel what feels right for them and dissect it a little bit instead of just kind of continue on a path that may not be serving them or their children fully.
And that's an interesting point too, because a lot of times it's, as parents, I see a lot of unconscious parenting where they're great parents, but unconsciously they're not really aware of what the kids' desire or likes and loves are, and in fact are pushing sports or activities that they wanted to do or interest them as, you know, as when they were kids on their own children. And, you know, I recently spoke to a young woman who said, I always wanted to be a dancer, and my mother pushed me in sports, and my whole rearing was sports related, and I was always, you know, she's built like a dancer, and she floats like a dancer. And so it's important as parents that we listen to what their likes are and where we want to guide them, you know?
Absolutely. I call it a few things. I feel the texture of your child. Observe the sparkle in the eye. Observe when those lips unknowingly curl into a smile on your child. You can feel really where they are most like a kid in the candy shop. And the more you as a parent move into clean out and heal what needs to be healed, and then move into where you are most like a kid in the candy shop. For me, I was 19, and you couldn't pull me out of a metaphysical bookstore. Literally, my cells began vibrating faster. It excited me. Yeah, I wanted to go and pet every book. And 20 years later, I'm a writer of that exact book. You know, and there's a family up here that we know of whose the son always loved fabrics and textures ever since the age of 3. And the mom at age 12 finally bought him a sewing machine. And that was the most joyous gift that boy had ever received. The dad resisted a bit, society and this, that, and the other. But you know what? To me, that's whether you speak the language we're speaking or not, that is soul-to-soul parenting at its finest. That mother saw that child and allowed him to be himself. That, to me, is what we're really talking about here, and not just for our own children, but for conscious global citizenship is why I wrote the book, to really uplift our world, that we're all living more true. That's my grandest hope.
And that's beautiful, because that's exactly how I read it. And I read this book and I thought to myself, if every parent would read this book and just get a seed out of it, they don't have to do everything out of it, but just a seedling, just to plant a little seed from this book into the mind and heart of a child, the world would be transformed. I mean, this is a transforming book, and it's, you know, it's practicality in to, you know, you and I as parents and on the path of spirituality. It's a practical spiritual approach. For some people, it can be, you know, a concept that may take some adjustment to, you know, which is, it, you know, I have to admit is a little hard for me to to believe, but it is. And it's you know, but if you could just take one part of any part of this book, whether it's, you know, looking at the oneness or the physical body as a sacred vessel or self-love or forgiveness, any part of it would resonate to somebody where that would be transforming to the child.
Yes, and I agree. My husband is a high school biology teacher of all things, you know, science and science and spirituality blending, as you know, merging. Einstein is our favorite person ever, and he's a high school soccer coach. And with our kids, he's a lot more secular. He's very soul to soul, but he does it in his own unique gem way, through little bit more his language. So we'll do a family discussion, and I just could go on and on about the spiritual aspects. I love the soul language, as you can tell, no surprise. And he'll just say something like, okay, kids, you're on a soccer field. And this is, and he brings a whole new angle. So I would never want to discourage anyone from using a language that feels right. You can talk about self-love and use examples in a different way than I offer in the book. But I love just what you said. The seeds are there to take off with and grow in any way that feels right to you as a parent.
Right, and it's one of those areas where you talk about actual spiritual themes to work through in regard to parenting, and your themes take from you start off with a soul to soul versus role to role, and to me that one gave me pause, because I thought this is how we need to shift our perspective. This is what we need to do. This is the first step right there. Because if we can look at one another through the eyes of our soul and not what role are we playing, then there's a whole lot more compassion and empathy and, awareness to listen to the other person. And
that one right there changed. It's life-changing.
It isn't it? I read that, and I after I was finished with that chapter, I put the book down because I just needed to reflect on that one chapter. Because elaborate a little bit for us on it, because
a teacher of mine years ago, Sonia Choquette, she's fabulous. She talked about that a lot, and I practiced for 30 days on my desk of soul to soul, actually leaving my home and seeing people beyond their physical mask. It didn't matter what their attitude was, but seeing them, the largest perspective of who they are, which is an eternal, infinite spiritual being connected to me, to all that is. And I tell you what, it was transforming. It was like, oh my gosh, I would come home to my family. There's another one. The roofer on top of the preschool, the nanny walking the child in, had actually full-blown mystical experiences. One day on a walk, I looked over to lawn care worker, and I felt such oneness and love suddenly, spontaneously for this individual. I could feel our connection, that we were actually one from the most largest vantage point possible. Breathless, speechless, tears in my eyes, and just tingling from head to toe in waves of pulsating ecstasy. And this might sound dramatic to some people, but I tell you what, the more you open to this type of perspective, your moments of illumination become much more frequent and much more intense. And I'm really here to say, and this is what we offer to our children, that feeling of nirvana, it's not saved for but a few. Conscious spirit embodiment and that type of self-realization is possible for each and every one of us. And Lisa, I'm sure you've had many experiences like that yourself, and it's just you move about the world in a different way. And that's what
you
excites
sure
me.
And that's what we need to bring to the kids.
They're capable of it.
They're so capable. And the thing is, I find, I like my kids. I like hanging with my kids. And I see that, for me, whether it's right or wrong, I've never spoken to my children like they were children. I've always spoken to my children like they were wise souls, because that's how they respond to me. And so there's all these different parts of them that I look at, and I they teach me constantly. But, when you can look at your kids and you can see that they have empathy and compassion for another, you did something right. And
yes,
that,
we do.
Right? It's like,
I love what you say, they're teaching you. We're all, as our kids are tremendous mirrors for us, and we for them. And that, you know, if you look at it like that, we are constantly showing each other what needs to be looked at in our own interior and maybe worked on a bit or cleaned out or what we're plugged into. So it's a continual balance of interior work and exterior offerings. Interior work, that's kind of how we are in our family. It's both are extremely important. Some downtime, quiet stillness, inner focus through journaling, dancing is a tremendous gateway for me, music, and then your kids have their toolbox of what their gateway is for connection and
yes,
truth. So
yes, and then, you know, they can come back to you. The one thing that I've learned is the non-reactive parenting. So when there's, especially in this very fragile, like we were talking about, the teenage years, the 13s, the 14s, you know, they're starting to experience things in their peer groups and in their schools that they come back with. And I want to be that parent that they can talk to me about anything. And I don't want to freak out. I don't want to be that, oh, good God, don't want to go with her to that, you know. So
right.
This is a really cruel world to throw kids. You know, it literally does feel like sometimes I'm throwing them to the wolves. And it's, you know, you want to check in when they come back from someplace and say, so, you know, what happened and how did you feel about that? And what did that, you know, make you want to do or respond to? But, you know, kids are pretty aware, and they're far more aware than I think most parents are aware that they're aware of. And if we can just keep that dialogue open and learn to, you know, choose our battles, and also to keep it from a realm of a non-reactive when they do tell us things that we do want to completely, you know, scream into a pillow or freak out.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly.
There's that moment, you know. But, Annie, when I move my show to an hour, we're going to be talking with you again because we need you on again. So I want
Thank
to
Thank you. I could just talk
out.
With you all day. I'm telling you right
I
now.
Know.
I mean, we've just begun to go there. I really and truly, this has been fantastic.
Oh, I've loved it too. This has been, you know, I truly feel a soul sistership with you, and it's been a complete joy. I've really loved this. But we're definitely going to be doing this again. And let the audience know where they can get your book. It's Soul to Soul Parenting by Annie Burnside. And you can get it at Amazon.com, but there's also Annie's website, which is annieburnside.com. And
or soulparenting.com. Yeah, either one will take
great.
You there, yes.
And
also I
want
to say
like
on the website, there are lots of tips. So, you know, if you're new to this and just want to check it out, there are lots of family discussion ideas and the books, the music, anything you want. I've done a lot of that on the website for people to utilize if they so choose.
Oh, Annie, that's very generous of you, because that really gets your mind thinking and aligned in the right course of where you want to direct yourself. And that's, you know, that's really generous of you, because that's a great part of the book as well. Now, in summarizing all of this, what would you like to give our audience as like a little food for thought for the week in regard to parenting or in regard to what, you know, what kind of wisdom can you give us today? Because I could really use a little.
Oh, thank you. You know, I would say that if anything at all resonated today, to me, there is just nothing to lose and everything to gain, even to take a few baby steps down a path of personal growth and spiritual development, and simultaneously begin to offer that to your children as well. It's amazed me the capacity that our children today have to go deeper than we ever thought that they could. And my husband and I, we offer them everything too, just like most modern parents, all that we can extracurricularly and academically. But we both know deep in our hearts that this will be the best of what we offered our children. And even if they don't fully appreciate it now, I have a strong feeling when they're age 24, 25, 30, it'll be really almost unimaginable what they've taken in as to who they really are as a creative spiritual being and what that means in their family life, in their work, in their offerings. So thank you so much for having me, and to all the listeners, I appreciate you taking the time to be with us today as well.
Oh, Annie, thank you so much for being on. This has been a true joy. I have absolutely loved it. And thank you, everybody, for joining us today with Annie Burnside, author of Soul to Soul Parenting on Unlimited Realities Radio. God bless you all, and have a very blessed week. We'll talk again next Thursday at 11:30. Take care. Bye-bye. Are you there, Annie?
Yes. Yeah.
No, you big Magoo.
He's a nice wizard. How did he get cut?
We can have more for lunch.
having trouble with my computer. It's somewhere in my files, but I can't find any of my show files. I can't find any of my document files. It's not where it normally is. I don't know what the hell happened. And I had struggle trying to get my show going, but I got it going now. And then I had somebody in my chat room who wanted to make political statements for Romney, and I had to bash them. So all in all, a good day. Anyway, I'm just trying to answer clients' emails, schedule some appointments, get organized in the house, figure out what I'm making for dinner, and go to the grocery store. So I get an email from Sissy Sumner, the dog lady. And it's not, hi Lisa, you weren't at, dog thing yesterday, are you coming tonight? It was, this is how it went. Lisa, Apollo, and Luke were not at dog class. Are you coming, are they coming tonight? It's an email to me. My name's Lisa Zimmer Mahoney. It's not to my secretary or my staff, you know? So I was going to, you know, Luke's sitting next to me. I said, read this, and what's your hit on it? He goes, I don't like her ego. I said, you know, that's interesting, because I was keeping my mouth shut. I thought she had a pretty solid ego, too. I said, but she is good at what she does, and that's what we got. So I start, like, emailing like I would normally email somebody, like, hi, Sissy, you know, and yes. And Luke goes, don't do all that. He goes, just answer yes. He goes, that's what she deserves after that. I said, you know what, Luke, you're right. So I answered, yes. Exactly. You know, but not even like, hi, Lisa, Miss Junior class, or is Luke and Apollo coming tonight? You know? Not even a personal, you know, it seemed so dominant and controlling. It was like, okay, you know what? I'm not your dog, so shut the fuck up, bitch. Yeah, she does. I think she's a frustrated lesbian. You know, I thought she was a lesbian when she introduced her friend. Yeah, and then I was surprised to hear she had a husband. She has two of them. I had a good night. Well, I have to remember to bring a blanket or something for him to lay down on tonight. So. We saw the drug bust in the paper. Boy. Yeah, they look fucked up. I know. I don't know. I gotta go get my black shirt on. I gotta get my picture. It makes me look thinner. Boy. Yeah, so Vero Beach wakes me up at 8:23 this morning, looking for their money. Like, really? Really. And then the gate's wide open, no lock on it, not even slammed shut. You know, it's like, gosh, I feel like I need to rein in some discipline and rules and responsibilities here, because I feel like apparently this was party house last night. He had Ryan and Zach over, and then Ryan went home, and Zach stayed. You know, I'm not hippie to that. Right. Well, I hope he didn't tell everybody he's going to get his driver's license tomorrow, because if by some fluke that they don't issue it to him, and then he's going to have to eat that. Right. And right, and then his shame was overwhelming. I know, I won't be here, so what time's his appointment? He doesn't have to parallel park, he'll be all right, I think. Which I don't understand why they don't make them fucking parallel park. It shows skill. I had to do it. You had to do it. You know? It shows that you can control your vehicle. Can't parallel park, then you can't get your driver's license. That's why I didn't pass the first time, parallel parking. That's why I'm such a fucking awesome parallel parker now. Yeah, only on the things that I'm good at. Oh, really? Again? Are you staying with me again? Go, dog, eat my computer. No, you big mooka.